You turn with me to the book of Revelation. Before I get started, I'd like to make a couple comments. Why are you here this morning? If you're a believer, why are you here? If you're not a believer and you're searching out the scriptures, that's wonderful. We're glad you're here. But is that the reason why you're here? When I stopped to, I've been meditating on this. Our brother Michael, the last couple of times that he's done Wednesday night, in his prayer he said, Lord, don't let us walk out of here the same. That's a real good thing to ask the Lord, isn't it? But when you stop and think about it, I was trying to make numbers. I like numbers. I've been a Christian over 20 years. I've been attending church. I know that's not the right way to say it, but that's how you understand it, right? Some people understand it that way. We fellowship together. We meet together. Let's say we meet together twice a week. That means 100 times a year. We come together and we listen to the Word of God at least 100 times. Now, if some of you come on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, well, Saturday, Sunday morning, and Sunday night, that's 4 times a week. That's 200 times a year. So if you count it 2 times a week, in 10 years, you will have listened to 1,000 messages. Some of you have been around a long time in Christ. Some of you have known the Lord for 50 years. That means you've listened to at least, think about it, 5,000 messages. But some of you faithful have been listening to the Word 4 times a week, not counting radio, television, and all the other stuff that you listen to. That's 50,000 possibly for some people. 10,000, say 10,000 messages. And I've just been struck by this. Is the Word of God changing your life? Is the Word of God affecting your lifestyle? Is it changing how you talk to people? Is it changing how your character is with regards to others? When I see how sometimes I blow up at my kids or my wife, I say, Lord, I still have so far to go to be like Christ. But Lord, I want to be like you. I want to be like you. And how easy it is to come on a Sunday morning and forget that we've come not to listen to the preacher, to the minister who's serving the Word of God, but we've come to listen to God's Word. And I was telling my kids, because, we have little chats on the table, and I said, years ago when I was just saved, at the assembly where I was at, we had one of the most boring preachers you could ever imagine. He was boring. But you know what? I didn't know any better. And I listened to him. You know why I listened? Because he was holding the Word of God in his hand. He was holding the Word of God in his hands. And I often think, do we treasure the Word of God? Do we? And I'm going to give you a little bit of just some of the things that bother me. So you can take it for what it's worth. Take it for what it's worth. If I had a golden chain that was worth $1,000, my mom had one that was worth $10,000 from the 68 Olympics. It had gold coins this big. My mom was a very poor lady. But she had her nice jewelry. I never, ever saw my mother put that little chain ever on the floor because it was worth so much. When I was a new believer, about a year in after I was a Christian, I went to this one church there in Champaign-Urbana where I'd been going to school, and this fellow was telling us about what it is to serve the Lord overseas. And when he was talking, he took the Word of God and he placed it on the ground, on the floor, and he put both feet on top of it. I thought to myself, you're done, man. Why should I listen to you? You're telling me exactly what you think of the Word of God. You know, a Muslim sees a Christian put the Word of God on the floor, what he thinks of us? He thinks we don't have a respect for that book. And let alone tell you, brethren, do you read the Word of God daily? Is it food for your soul? Because I'll tell you one thing, you can come here on a Sunday morning and listen to a little message and go home and never talk about the message. Never talk about what God's doing in your life. And I'll tell you what, the Lord has been speaking to me on this issue because I think he's answering Michael's prayer. So if you have a problem with me, go talk to Michael. Okay? But it's true, you know, sometimes, you know, the body of Christ is so wonderful. Those of us who have more years and those of us who have less years, we stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. Do we really believe the message that's in this book? If it is, it should affect us. It should grip us. It should change us. We should not walk out the same. The people who we move with at work, at school, should say, that guy is different. Why is he different? Look at, what is he doing? He prays for his food. Wow, I haven't seen that in many years. Or he opens up the Word of God at work, on his time, at his break. You know, we're going to discuss a section of Scripture that I'll tell you, it's no enjoyment for me to bring this morning. No enjoyment. But I think it's in the Word of God. Not but, it is in the Word of God. And because it's in the Word of God, and we're just going through the book of Revelation, it's not just something that I want to bring up. But I wanted to turn to Revelation chapter 1 and read again the key verse. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. My kids asked me the other day, could I quote it? I said, no, I couldn't quote it. Because I have it half in Spanish and half in English. So that's an excuse for me, but you hear it only in English. Those of you who hear it in English should have this verse down pat. Right? So it says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And as we've been studying the book of Revelation over this last year, you know, the times that I can speak on a Sunday, we've seen those things that John, the apostle, saw. And he saw the glorious Lord Jesus. He saw him in his majesty. And if you go back and you look at the Gospels, when they were standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord said that you're going to see me in my glory. I think this is an answer to that. Not the Mount of Transfiguration, but the fact that John was going to see a revelation of Christ in his glory, in his coming. Because John gets to see the future here as well. The things that are. There were seven churches that we talked about. We spent weeks discussing. What are churches like? You know, there's some churches that are just on fire. There are some churches that are just as cold as ice. Why? Because Jesus is outside knocking at the door. Hey, can I come in? It is my meeting, you know. I am the guest of honor. But we have him outside, don't we? In some places, that's how it is. They have Jesus outside. But we want Jesus inside, don't we? We want Jesus here with us. We want Jesus to be the one to explain to us the Word of God. And then he's told us, what is life going to be like in the future? What is this tribulation going to happen? What is it going to be like? And you know, when we look at the tribulation, one of the things we see is how God is. Turn with me to chapter 6. We're going to read two verses in chapter 6 that present a different perspective that most people are used to seeing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a month's time, we're going to be hearing Christmas carols. We're going to see the little baby child, you know, in a little manger. And that's fine and dandy, okay? But, you know, that's as far as people want Jesus to go. They don't want him to be the master, the ruler, the king of the earth. They don't. Because, you know why? It makes me personally responsible. If I know Jesus and Jesus is talking to me, I have to give an account. You know, there are people who are deaf, like my son. He's deaf. He's got his cochlear implant and he can hear. But many times I say, huh? What? I didn't hear you. You know why he didn't want to hear me? Because then he would be responsible. You know? How many times did that happen? Oh, I didn't hear you. Did you tell me to do that? I didn't hear you. So I try to instill this in my kids. I give you something to do. I want a response back. Huh? Yes, I heard that. That way they can't use the excuse. I didn't hear you. God has spoken. You know, that's something we believe as Christians. God has spoken, and he hasn't just spoken. He has spoken clearly. And he had spoken so clearly that the Word of God is right here in our hands that we can know what God has to say. Look at what it says here about Jesus in these last two verses of Revelation chapter 6. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, that's slaves, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? This is future. It's speaking in the present. And I was meditating on this. Brother, how could I come this morning and share something with you that might affect you? Not because I want to do it, because the Word of God is that way. Could you imagine? Go back to 9/11. Where were you on 9/11? I know precisely where I was. I was entering the prison of Topa Salamanca. I was entering through the gates. I was going through the gates, and the guards aren't supposed to have a television, but they have it locked away, and they were had the doors open, and they were watching the towers go down. And I'm thinking, I got to go and minister to these guys. Look at the television. These twin towers going down. Bang! What a day that was. It affected our society. It's changed the way we do life in America. You know, I've been to Bolivia. I've been to South America. I've seen guys there with machine guns ready to go if anything happens in the airport. Well, till 9/11, I never saw that in America. It's there now. You know, you just got to look around. You see that. But going back to 9/11, that day, stop and think about this. If you knew that the towers were going to go down on 9/11, if you knew they were going down, if somebody called you and they said, listen, Joe, Sam, don't go to the towers today. I know you've got a tour. I know you have to go there today and you have to show this. Don't go. Why? Because I know it's going down. How do you know? I can't give you any specifics. The towers are going down. Would you go? Would you have gone? Would you? Listen, in Spain, we had 3/11. March 11th. You know, these aren't coincidence dates. We have terrorists in the world today. They're going to blow this place apart. But you know what? That is nothing. That is kids' games. That is playing video games in comparison to what the scriptures tell us is going to happen. And God's word is faithful. It's not like somebody calling and say, Sam, don't go. No. Who are you to tell me not to go? Why should I trust your word? But the word of God tells us what the future is going to be like. And it's not to scare us. It's to tell us, hey, God is loving us ahead of time. It's coming, folks. You know, people in Katrina were told, the hurricane's coming. It's coming. Get out of here. Get your shirt on your back and get out. And what do? They stay. Oh, we've been through a lot of hurricanes. Oh, people are always talking about that stuff. It ain't going to happen. So it happens. How sad. How sad when you look back and say, why were so many lives lost? Our brother John just prayed, you know, we don't want anybody going to hell. Do you want anybody going to hell? I don't want anybody going to hell. But people are going there. Why? Out of personal choice and desire to go there. Let's look now at the last verse of chapter 8. We're in the Great Tribulation. Four trumpets have sounded, and there's three left. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, I can't hear this message that John was preaching. So when he says, whoa, 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 it's like the guy saying, listen to what I have to say. You know, when the scripture, when a writer uses the word three times, he's making emphasis. Listen attentively. These are special people here. inhabitants of the earth, earth dwellers, people who have their roots tied down. You know, that's how people are today, isn't it? I've got my house, and I've got my job, and I've got my car, and I'm just here. This is mine. I ain't going anywhere. So what happens? So the stock market goes down? So jobs go to China? So there's fires in California, and people say, I gotta leave my house now. There is nothing in this world that is permanent, is there? Yes, sir. Every year that I get a little older, I recognize this is all going to burn up one day anyway. But that, now, that doesn't mean I don't appreciate what God's given me, and I shouldn't be a steward with it. Don't get me wrong. We are to be good stewards with what God's given to us. But I am not to have my roots here. It says of the Christian, my treasure should be in heaven. My citizenship is in heaven, not here. And yet how easy it is for us to build a dwelling place here. But woe to those who have their dwelling place here. And now we enter into chapter 9, and this is the fifth trump. It says, verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall. And one translation says, fallen from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. I believe this is talking about, if you jump up to verse 10 of the previous chapter, Verse 11. It says, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood and many men died of the waters because they were bitter. There was this fallen star. It was a dignitary, somebody who in the future is going to control the society in which we live. The more I see where our society is going, listen, I've been living in Europe for 20 years. You should see how everything is consolidating in Europe. Living in Spain, we use a euro now. I can go with that euro to Portugal, to France, to Italy, one coin. And they've got this organization there in Brussels that they're starting to set up this government. The constitution is at a snag right now. When they get through with that, we'll see how that joins together. Our world is getting smaller and smaller, and people are starting to think globally. People are starting to say, hey, we shouldn't let those Christians be intolerant, they say. We got to get them out of the way because every religion is good out there. Everyone's except the Christians' faith. So push them aside. And that's how it works in a lot of places in Europe. The Christians are the last ones on the totem pole. Everybody else before them because they're the intolerant ones. And you see what happens here is the day is coming when there's going to be a key and this person who is this dignitary is going to open the bottomless pit. And then, as one writer has said, and he's titled this section, Hell on Earth. Hell on Earth. Can you imagine somebody titling a message, Hell on Earth? But I think when we read what's in this section, it's amazing. It's amazing. Let's continue reading. Verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of the great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them, the locusts, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which had not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them, to the locusts, it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was as to hurt men 5 months, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew, in the Hebrew tongue, is Abaddon, and the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Can you picture this? There's this fallen star, and we've talked about this last time, a dignitary. He's got a key, and this key opens the bottomless pit. And key in Scripture talks about someone who has a certain amount of power, a certain person who has authority to change things. And so this person opens, and as it opens, there's this smoke that comes out. As I was meditating on this, I thought to myself, this depicts a rock concert. Doesn't it? Haven't you ever seen a rock concert? Well, you people who are a little older should see what a rock concert looks like. You don't have to listen to the music, just look at what it looks like. You should see those guys come out where they're ready to go, they got their dress, and out comes the smoke. And I remember, I'm from the 70s and 80s, okay? And what happened? They came from down below. And they came up. And then they started jamming away. And as I was meditating, I thought that, you know, this is, you know, sometimes people in this world like to copy stuff in the Scriptures. And I thought to myself, what would that be like? This smoke coming up, filtering into everything, knocking out the sun. And when the sun is knocked out in Scripture, it tells you that darkness is happening. A certain philosophy is invading the land. You know, today, people can come to a church building. They can hear the Word of God. They can turn on a radio. They can read a book. But the day is coming when there's going to be darkness, when people will not be able to find out for various reasons, and we're going to discuss that here. And it says that as this pit opened up, all these locusts came out, verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. I had to study a little bit on scorpions yesterday. We don't have many scorpions in Spain. We don't have any. I haven't seen any scorpions. I know they have some. But I know some people who have lived in Africa or South America, they've seen scorpions. You just see a scorpion and you kind of cringe, don't you? There was one brother down in Peru, and he would, every time he would get out of bed, before he put his shoes on, he would look inside his shoes to make sure there were no scorpions. Because he had understood, his parents were missionaries down in Peru. He said, I don't want to get stung by one of those, because they're no fun. And this is talking about getting stung. These locusts are going to come out, and they're going to filter into the world, and they're going to bring a certain amount of problems onto the world. Verse 4, and it was commanded them, the locusts, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. So now, stop and think. These aren't just any regular locusts. I would say they're not even locusts. It's giving us a description that is non-literal here. Because if it was literal, the locust, first thing it would do, would eat the grass. But this type of messenger, this type of creature, is not there to eat the grass. It's there to do what? Look at the second part. But only those men, it's supposed to hurt those men which have not the seal of God on their foreheads. It's to come and do pain and suffering to these folks who do not have the seal of God on them. So there's, and it tells us it's going to be more than just regular pain. You know, today, who suffers pain? Come on, really, who suffers pain? You got a pill for this and a pill for that. You know, you got morphine for this and morphine for that. Yes, I know there's pain. We're watching a documentary on World War II this week. Today's Veterans Day. You know, I've never seen anyone killed, gunned down. And I grew up in inner city Chicago. I'm thankful I never had to see that sight. But those of our countrymen who have had to see friends get shot and killed. Can you imagine someone dying and not be able to lighten the pain? What happened years ago before all the drugs, modern drugs that we have today, when somebody would have a terminal illness, a cancer, before there was all the morphine, they would try to get them with a little bit of alcohol, right? Get them some shots in there just to alleviate some of the pain. What would happen to those people? They would yell and scream all day because of the pain that they had. That's the kind of suffering I'm talking about. We don't know that suffering today. Have you seen people suffer like that today in the recent 5 years? I haven't. Somebody screaming and saying, I want to die! Let me go! I haven't seen anybody like that. Have you? They coming though. How sad that someone would literally want to die, because look at the next verse, verse 5. And to them, to the locusts, it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. 5 months of utter agony. And think about it. Now, says the scripture, is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get right with God. And people put it off and put it off and put it off. But the day's going to come when there's going to be no more putting it off. When that person's going to say, I'm still alive. And look at how the world has changed. My wife's gone. She's a believer. My kids are Christians. They're gone. And I'm left behind. And I have to go through this great suffering. And yet, how sad. The bad part isn't yet to come. These 5 months, like someone said, is hell on earth. People say, no, hell is here. You haven't seen it yet. You don't know what it's going to be like. Here's the picture. These people are going to be in torment for 5 months. They're in utter agony. Nothing softens it. Verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. Desire to die and death shall flee away. Men still think, I'm in control. I can take a gun and just go bang and I'm out of here. That's a lie. I can just pop the pills. And I'm out of here. No. I can just slit the wrist and I'm out of here. No. So you see somebody who shoots themselves in the head and they're still living 5 years later. They're a vegetable, but they're still alive. Or they pop all the pills and they say, I'm out of here. I can't live in this world. And they're still living. You know why? Because man still thinks today that he has control over life and death. And he doesn't. God has control over life and death. God's the one who says, you're done. You can leave. You're out of here. But none of us can leave on our account. I can try, but God's the one that says, okay, I'll let him go. Or God says, he's not going. And God says here, for 5 months, they're not out. They're going to go through this suffering. And I'd like you to stop and think here. If you're not a Christian here today, you've been forewarned by somebody going to the Twin Towers. God does not play. God says, I will not be laughed at. When I say my word, I mean what I say. And he fulfills his word. But then, those of us who are Christians here today, knowing the outcome of what is yet to come, you stop and think. Why even bother talking about this on a Sunday morning? Brethren, if I know the end, shouldn't that affect my life and how I witness to the people around me, how I live my life? If I know, it's just like, if I know that the Twin Towers are going down and I don't tell anybody and the Twin Towers go down, brethren, that's a weight on me. That's a weight on me. Because I knew. I knew ahead of time. I knew what was going to happen. But I didn't do anything. How sad. And God in his love is telling us what the future is going to be like. He's going to send the judgment. Why? Because men are just laughing at God. Just saying, this doesn't, God doesn't even exist. We got rid of him already when we got antibiotics, man. We're just living longer. We can go to 80, 90 years old. Who needs God? God says, no. I'll let you go for a while. But I'm still in control here. And a day's coming when there's going to be judgment. Now look at verse 7. They depict what these locusts are like. And the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Well, most of us today don't have horses here. We have horsepower, and we're like, 100, 200 horsepower cars, just so we can zip down the road at maximum 55 or 65. If you come to Europe, you can go 85 in some places, or you go to Germany and it doesn't have a speed limit. So there you can really see what a Jaguar can do on the road at 250 or 300. But here, you're limited. Horses. What are horses like? Can you imagine this horse just all, just strong? Have you ever been to a horse and they have them walk stately? And it goes to a show and they cut its tail? That's really bad for the horse because he can't slap the flies away. But that horse is just, and here you have horses prepared unto battle. They've got all this array. There's going to be an attack. And on their heads, they're, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as faces men. Crowns. Beautiful crowns. Golden crowns. Sparkling. They have faces. That means they were sort of human-like. Intelligent. What a day that's going to be. And it says, and they had hair as the hair of women. Now, I know in today's fashion, women have shorter hair, but the scripture talks about women having long hair. And so this creature had this long hair. And their teeth were the teeth of lions. See that? It could be so stately, but then it opens its mouth. And the mouth speaks many times in scripture to devour, to eat. Can you imagine the teeth of a lion, but in the shape of a horse, hair like a woman, a face like a man? I can't picture it. I can't. But I understand it's talking here of what's going to filter into the world in which this is happening. This is still yet future. It's going to be a tremendous power in the face of the earth. And verse 9, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, so they had their midsection covered, protected. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. So they had these wings. So it talks about a creature who could travel and go and move. We talk about today about, getting on an airplane, you could be around the world in 12 hours. Wow. You can be the moon. Wow. What a creature here. He's going to be bang, bang, bang. That means there's going to be a control aspect here. When anybody tries to say anything else against this system, bang, they're going to be down. There's not just going to be the freedom. Our brother prayed that we would have freedom in this country. Freedoms are eroding here in Europe, everywhere. Why? Because it's coming to the end. We know that sometime in the future, we don't know when, there's going to be a one world government, and that government's going to control everything you think, everything you eat. Think about it. When was the last time you planted a garden? Maybe not too long ago. Where'd you get the seeds? Oh, I bought them at the supermarket. Well, did you try planting those seeds the second year? Some of them don't grow. Why? Because they're genetically manipulating everything. So in the future, you won't even be able to grow your own food. Why? Because everything is genetically manipulated. So the Antichrist, when he sets up this time, is going to have tremendous power over everything and everybody. For a season. For a season. Verse 10. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings or stingers in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. We already talked about that a little bit. Verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Both of those words mean destroyer. This king of the bottomless pit His function is to destroy. And we can go to John, and John says that Satan is a murderer from the beginning. God wants us to have life. Have life abundantly. Life that you can rejoice. Life that you can be excited about. That's God's plan for us. But the destroyer wants us to be sad, wants us to be up to our ears in debt, so we're just anxious about everything. So we have a drinking problem or a drug problem, or we have this problem or that problem. You know, the destroyer uses any method he can in the society in which he is functioning to destroy people. You know how he destroys them in Africa? Tells them, you'll have a better life in Europe. Cross over. Hundreds, thousands of people die getting to the Canary Islands or getting to the shores of Spain every year. Because, you know, the enemy is saying, hey, you'll have a better life over there. And it's true to a certain extent. But for how long? For how long is that better life? How long? Because this life that we live, 80, 90, 100 years, that's just a drop in the bucket as far as time is concerned. When you consider it next to eternity, those of us who have found Christ have life eternal, life abundant, the scriptures tell us. Look at verse 12. One woe is past, and behold, there comes two woes more hereafter. And this evening, Lord willing, we'll discuss the next one. But this one, stop and think. Hell on earth. When people would love to destroy themselves, but God says, no way, 5 months have to pass before it happens. How sad. How sad. May God give us grace to use our days wisely for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we think again of hearing another message, hearing the word of God. And yet, Father, we contemplate the fact that you have forewarned us of what the future is like. Thank you, Father, that you have given us as Christians, as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope, the assurance, the promise that we will not pass through that tribulation period. But, Father, you have given us a command to go out into the world and preach the gospel, the good news of salvation in Christ, of redemption for sins done. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious blood that can save the foulest person. Thank you for saving me, Lord Jesus. And I pray that if there be any today here without Christ, that they would not go away without getting their accounts settled with Christ. That today would be the day of salvation for them. And yet, Father, we pray for ourselves, those of us who know you and have been walking with you for years, that our lives would just not be humdrum, common, no change, but rather that we would be vibrant, living, and excited about following you daily. Help us, Lord Jesus, to have that passion of serving you faithfully day by day, that truly the people around us would know that we have been with Jesus, that Jesus dwells in us, that Jesus is the center and core of our life. For, Lord, we desire to give you the glory and the honor with our lifestyle. Thank you again, Father, for the blessing of having your word and being able to read it, for the freedoms that we have. Thank you so much for all that you give to us. But especially we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.